At North Point Executive Suites, we provide office and virtual solutions to fit every business need. And technology-enhanced turnkey offices, you'll enjoy all-inclusive rates without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Our service is second to none. Visit our privately owned locations in Alpharetta or Duluth and see for yourself. Call us at 678-242-5200 or visit northpointexecutivesuites.com. At North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success.
Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Choices to you. We offer a large variety of restaurants to choose from. Hot food delivered to your home or office. Whether you like Italian, Mexican, Thai, wings or burgers, at Choices to You, we have you covered for lunch or dinner. Choices to you. Visit us online at choicestoyou.com or call 678-691-4541 in North Fulton or 678-765-8989 in Gwinnett. Eat out without going out.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio at North Point Executive Suites, it's time for North Fulton Business Radio. North Fulton Business Radio is presented by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio here on Business Radio X from the Roswell Infinity Studio. I am merely Mike Salmon, and again, the guy that just carries the entire show, Mr. John Ray, is alongside. Hello, John.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You been doing okay, working hard?
I'm working hard, man.
Living the life.
It's great to have three great guests. I mean, we've got great guests be able to get on North Fulton Business Radio. It's a great place to be.
As I say every week, you once again have outdone yourself. We have filled the studio with not only good guests, but great food.
Great food, and it's going to be a great day today.
Yes, and we'll get to the food and all that later on. But our guests are, and I always apologize ahead of time if I don't get the names right, because I am notorious for messing them up. But Ted Rakowski with Sandler Training, did I?
Perfect. Right on time.
All right. One for one. Brian Evi with Village Vessel.
Nice job, Mike.
Two for two. All right. And Baha Zidan with Azalea Health Innovations. Did I get that right?
You got it right. Perfect.
Boy, you're not merely Mike today. You're magnificent, Mike, on the pronunciation.
And that's the end of our show. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. We'll start with Ted, with Sandler Training and Accent Training Incorporated. Ted, welcome to the program. Tell us about your company and your business and what you do.
Well, first off, thanks for having me here. I appreciate it. So Sandler Training is a global sales consulting and training organization. And I'm actually one of the licensees. So in essence, I license their intellectual property. Again, one of 270 around the globe. Locally, we work with small businesses, sometimes sales professionals who work for other people. And globally, we can support a company no matter where they are. So if they are globally distributed, we can work with them all over the place.
Okay, so you talk about training. We're talking about companies that need some sales training for their staff. Maybe wrap your arms around the different types of services.
Great question. So it really has evolved. So the organization was started back in the 70s, David Sandler, with a network like we do, and the way sales has changed. It was specifically on sales. As it's evolved, we really work with customer service, sales management, and it's the spectrum. So sales professionals, so commissioned salespeople we work with, business owners who are sometimes the sales force for their entire organization, on up to organizations that have a sales team all over the place, and it is sales training. So it's the behaviors, it's the attitude, it's the technique. It's all about reinforcement. So what we find is that traditional sales training, very, very technique-based, and when companies are training, is quite often it's on the product end of what they do, but not always on the sales. So what they really need to do when it comes to sales and engaging with people and making sure that they're moving the business in the right direction.
So, Ted, you've talked about some of the people, some of the companies you work with. What are some of the big issues that you see that you need to address when you go in and talk to a company or to their salespeople?
So what I found interesting enough, and I imagine you can understand, I think a lot of people don't really understand where they are falling down sometimes. So if they look in the mirror, usually it's there's something that's off. The other thing that's really big, and it's it doesn't surprise me, but most people, when it comes to sales, they wing it. So you think about some of the expertise that somebody has when it comes to being a CPA or an attorney or an engineer. There's a lot of education, a lot of training that goes behind that. When it comes to sales, there are a lot of people who feel that, yeah, I can do it. I've got people skills. Let me go out and sell. Many times they do well. A lot of people out there who sell by winging it, and they can make it happen. But often they get to a level where that's the max of what they're going to be able to do, and they really need something else to really push beyond.
So talk about your process. Talk about how you work with a client.
It really depends on the client. So obviously a disparity between a professional salesperson who's working for somebody else or commissioned, they've got their own interests at heart, onto an organization that's got a sales team. So the engagement is going to be very specific to what their actual needs are. So there's a lot of questioning, really finding out, first off, where they are. There's some tools and some processes that we use to find that out, to really identify how we engage best to make sure that we're achieving the goals that they need. Sometimes it's even helping them understand what those goals are and maybe some of the gaps. So it's very customized. It's always it's very dynamic. It changes quite often. We engage with obviously businesses, and it's private. We have a public end of it where I've got people that come into training on a weekly basis. They see that some people will progress quicker than others. So there's a lot of one-on-one coaching that goes along with it. But it is always a customized solution, no matter what size.
We're talking with Ted Rakowski with Sandler Training. How did you get involved with the company? Did Sandler Training find you, or did you find Sandler Training?
A little bit of both. Early on in my career, I was working for companies, and there was a base salary. It wasn't commission. It was profit sharing, if anything. And I did really well at one of the companies, got to the annual review, and my base salary went up a little bit. But I really didn't see the financial reward that I was expecting when it came with the performance I had. So I went out and found something that really would provide that opportunity. I went to work for a technology company. They actually engaged with Sandler. So this was right around the turn of the century, back when Y2K was big. I saw technology. That's the business I need to be in because there's money there. So they brought in Sandler, and it really changed how I viewed sales. It really opened up my eyes, kind of like the black and white to color in The Wizard of Oz. That's what happened to me. My wife works for a very large organization, and by virtue of that, we kind of got moved around the country. So I grew up in the Northeast. We spent 6 years in Arizona, a couple years in North Carolina, and it's coming up on 5 years here in Atlanta. I was in six different industries through those moves. Very, very disparate industries. Individual contributors, sales, managed some teams, worked some sales and some operations. The last role I was in, it was a sales-focused role. And I saw that there were some things that they just simply missed. I went out and sought Sandler then because I thought this is the perfect solution for what we need. I knew the system. It was familiar to me. I trusted the person I reached out to. But rather than us engaging him, which my company opted not to do, it started a conversation that resulted in me leaving the organization and going out and starting my own Sandler franchise.
Wow. So, Ted, I was going to ask you, why would somebody use you? I think I heard part of the answer. I mean, you've actually been a practitioner. You're not just a guy that read something nice in a book. I mean, you've actually been out there doing the hard work of sales and complex sales, it sounds like. So, but talk about what that experience brings to the table in terms of why somebody would use you and your services.
So to touch on that, you're right. When it comes to looking at a book, there was plenty of that I did. And the industries I was in, there was always very company-specific training. I had the virtue of seeing a lot of different training, and Sandler just resonated with me from the beginning. So that's kind of why I went back to it. Here I have, I've kind of gotten off the question that you asked, but about the process?
Well, no, about why somebody would use you and your experience you bring to the table, and you kind of touched on why Sandler as well. So maybe you can address that as well.
Bottom line, somebody's got to be open to really, they have to understand that there's a gap. that exists. They're looking for something else. They want to achieve more than they're currently at. You've got people who, I don't want to say go through the motions, but they've become an expert in what they do. Maybe they're growing their business. Some people stall. Other people, they're just looking for that competitive edge. They always want to develop. Those are the people that I really engage and work well with. If they've got skin in the game, they're actively involved, there's a lot that we can do together. The reality is when it comes to something like sales, it's usually not a big shift. You're rounding out some rough edges that can make a big, big difference. But if they identify something, it's either through a conversation that we have together, or they're seeking me because they know about us, they're interested in training, some kind of development. Those are the people who engage with. And it doesn't matter how small, how large. There's something that we can do to help them out. And usually we do have a very big impact.
You mentioned, Ted, some companies that might stall out or not reaching their sales potential. And some seem to recognize it and maybe reach out to you. And I'm sure there's a lot of companies that don't recognize it. And like you say, you kind of identify that during a conversation. So if there's business owners out there listening right now and they're thinking, well, I'm fine, I don't need any help, probably still worth having at least a conversation, I would think, because there may be some things that that you could pick up on that they're not picking up on.
So ultimately, it comes down to a conversation, right? I'm a salesperson. I consider myself a sales professional. I'm not somebody who has to push or convince. If there is a reason for us to do business together, let's identify that. Likewise, if there's not a fit, we can identify that up front and know it's okay. But let's have a conversation about it. If there's something that we can do that I can help you out, love to explore that and see if there's something there.
So we've been talking about Sandler Training and you running the business and how it's been for you. Let's give maybe some tips out there. We don't want to give away all the secrets, obviously. We want them to employ Sandler Training and contract out with you. But maybe one of the big mistakes that you see salespeople make all the time that they don't realize, and maybe something that you work with them on.
So the two things that come to mind immediately. One of the things I hear on occasion, people ask me to speak to a group, a sales team. They'll come in for a sales meeting. And they want a specific topic. And one of the things that comes up is, you know, how do you close more sales? How do you get to the close? The reality is, if that's your issue, the problem is much earlier in the process. So if it comes down to the close, there's usually something earlier in the process that you didn't execute on well. And quite often, it's the qualification. It's asking the right questions and making sure that you really identify the reasons to do business. If that's not there, and there's not a reason to move forward, when it gets to the close, it's usually not something that you're going to say. There's no magical question that's going to convert it for you. I think one of the other things that helps out is when it comes to sales, there's usually some kind of defense wall that's built up. I even have it when I get telemarketing calls. They are there to sell you. So that defense wall goes up. And one of the things that we try to employ is the understanding of mutual mystification. The prospect is usually mystified by what the salesperson is doing, and the salesperson doesn't always know what the prospect's looking for. So upfront, we try to communicate expectations. So there's something called the upfront contract, and it's all about setting expectations. Just what are the rules of the game? Even the rules of the conversation. We may find that there's something to do next. We might find a next step. Likewise, we might find 15, 20 minutes from now, there's not the right fit. Again, no is okay. But just simply setting the expectations up front, the rules of the game, helps out a lot in getting those conversations to go much further.
Okay, Ted. So you were out there living and breathing in the sales world for a long time, and then you got in business for yourself. So you've been in business 18 months. How is it? Give some tips on to solopreneurs that are thinking about starting up, and what you've learned about that.
I think the biggest thing I say is I from when I was young, I always wanted to have my own business. I was just never that person. I could figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. And Sandler found me. I found Sandler, and it's worked out well. I mean, it's the right fit. I enjoyed helping other people develop their own skills. There was plenty that I learned throughout the years. I'm still learning, but I love it. I love every day just building the business, going through the process. Really, the difference is, rather than building somebody else's territory, which I've done in different parts of the country and for different businesses, now it's on my own. My skin's in the game, and I'm here for a long time and love every day.
All right, Ted, for those that would like to find out more, look into your services and maybe end up using Sandler training, how can they find out more information about you and your company?
My website is www.ascent, that's A-S-C-E-N-T, .sandler.com, or you can call my office, 770-462-2020.
And I got to point the finger at myself, John, because I think earlier, did I say accent instead of ascent?
It happens quite commonly.
See?
Quite all right. You're good.
I'm not perfect. Will never have a perfect show.
Well, after blowing through those names, you just had to show you were human,
yeah,
right?
I was so excited.
There you go.
Again, Ted Rakowski with Sandler Training Ascent. I can't even say it. Just say Sandler Training, right?
There you go.
Or Ascent.
Ascent.
Training. There you go.
English is not like my first language, apparently.
Even though you're in radio?
I know. It's kind of scary. Ted, thank you for coming by and sharing everything with us.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, John.
All right.
So, Mike, we are in the Roswell Infinity studios, and Roswell Infinity is one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country. They aim to provide top-notch customer service and are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at roswellinfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter.
We love our friends at Roswell Infinity. And of course, if you've noticed, you always do the live reads during the show because I can't even read correctly.
Well, I don't know. I kind of stumbled there a little bit. So anyway, we support each other, yeah, right?
Exactly.
So,
all right, our next guest here on North Fulton Business Radio from Village Vessel, Brian Evie. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mike. John?
Yep. All right, Village Vessel. What in the world is Village Vessel? Tell us about your company, what you do.
Village Vessel is a mobile platform designed to bring small communities closer together. And by that, we mean residents of all kinds. So city government, HOAs, PTAs, churches, schools, and the like, closer together in their communities, as well as communities at large. So think Alpharetta, Roswell, here in North Fulton. We've got territories in Marietta and Decatur. So you've got the residential component. And then the other side of these communities are the small businesses, right, who sort of make them go, right? We all spend, unless we're traveling for work, we spend 90% of our time in our communities, right? And we probably spend 90% of our capital when we're out there as consumers. So whether I'm a resident or a small business owner, why wouldn't I want to invest my time in a platform that provides a variety of features that are fun and in some ways unique, but also help keep the community safer?
So the end game is really to kind of just introduce everybody to everybody else so they do business with each other. And as you say, kind of keep it in the community, keep the community a little closer.
That's one way, for sure. And then there's an area where the service provides existing groups to stay closer together. So we effectively provide, whether it's a small business or a book club or a school, whether public or private, their own mobile application. And it's more than just an app, right? We all carry around thousands of apps on our phone. This is much more of a platform, a communication tool that residents and small business owners can use, whether folks download and install our app or not. For instance, if I happen to operate a small business here in Alpharetta, Milton, and I want to target everyone whose customer information I currently have, be it email address or mobile number, I can use the tools that Village Vessel provides me and send notifications, emails, push messages to that entire constituent base, whether they're running the application in Alpharetta, Milton or not. So it extends far beyond folks having to install an app. We thought about that early on because, you know, there was some app fatigue out there, probably still is, right? Speaking for myself, who runs probably four or five apps on my phone, and those include the ones that come pre-installed.
Right.
So we thought about, okay,
only 405, huh?
How do we make this stickier, if you will, for small businesses and residents?
The concept, where did the concept come about? Did you see a need? Obviously, you saw a need. How did the whole idea come about?
Yeah, I turn around and smile at my here in the studio because she's heard me tell this story 1,000 times. I'll tell it once again, and I'll try to keep it short and sweet. So in my previous life, I did a ton of travel, domestic, international, and I'd be gone, you know, multiple weeks every month. Okay, and we've got small children, and I didn't always know where my kids were and when they were there. I had an 11-year-old at the time. He's our oldest. He's now 14. He was going into the sixth grade and really pleaded first smartphone. So he broke us down. He's a good sales guy. And we bought him a smartphone. Okay, thank you, Ted. And we said to him, look, you take this to school. You use the phone to call home. You can't use the internet. You can't chat with your friends. You can do that at home, but not when you're away from home. So we sent him to school. He gets off the bus at the time about 2:40 in the afternoon. 2:40 comes and goes. I happen to be working from home that day, a non-travel day. We start getting a little nervous. It's now 2:45, 2:50. I look out the front window and I see my son standing on the bus stop where he gets off, staring down at his phone, and he's tapping away on the phone. So I'm thinking, well, first of all, he's in big trouble when he gets in here because I'm gonna hijack his phone. And then secondly, I started to think, how can I be notified wherever I am in the world when Tyler gets off the bus? So we, at that time, began to develop essentially a digital sensor technology. Think about beacons or virtual billboards. You don't see them. And any user, whether it's a small business owner or a resident, as we all are, can plant these, what we call flags, anywhere in the physical world. And when an intended recipient approaches the flag and breaks the boundary around the flag, his device wakes up, reveals a specific message that was left for him, but so too does the person who planted the flag. And so in my personal use case, I was always able to know when Tyler got home from school, when he arrived at school, when he popped up at his friend's house, when he checked in at his football game, what have you. And so you can start to imagine the use cases for that technology. It's not unique technology, it's geofencing. But that technology was always reserved for the larger companies. Think Home Depot, Target, and the like. These Fortune 500 marketers who have deployed in their stores a massive mobile marketing infrastructure. So I started to think, well, you know, we built this technology. Why not make it usable for regular folks like us, but also for the small business owner who doesn't have the financial or the human resources to develop his own mobile marketing strategy, never mind launch and support his own mobile application?
You know what I'm hearing, Mike, is there are a bunch of kids that are glad that Brian is not their dad, right? I mean, my gosh.
Poor Kyle.
poor Tyler,
feel,
yeah.
Oh, Tyler, I mean, we
yeah,
feel for you.
Yeah, I mean, holy Moses. So anyway, talk though about small business owners, because we've got small business owners as listeners, and they get, as you said, they get hit up by a lot of folks with apps. But one of the things that stood out to me and what you said was, it sounds like you're connecting, and that's a big deal to connect locally, but you're also connecting with folks that are fans or near fans. That's what it sounds like to me. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Typically, when you provide a small business owner with your personal contact information, particularly your mobile phone number, there is a level of trust already developed. We understand full well that when you're talking about small businesses and they make marketing decisions, you're literally asking them to take money out of their pocket, money out of their cash register, right? Folks still use cash registers, believe it or not. And so you have to provide almost immediate return or show them how they can attribute an increase in business to an investment they made from a marketing standpoint. So the reception has been good. But you can imagine the level of education that's required to not only convert a lot of these folks who may be typically buying traditional media, be it radio or print, daily, weekly, monthly, and there's a lot of them out there, but they also don't necessarily understand mobile technology as much as some of us who are running the business may understand it. So you've got this this incredible education curve. So one of the challenges for us is not only overcoming that curve, but also when you consider the price point that we require, which is nominal, it's challenging to make it compelling for the salesperson in the organization to really understand and embrace the fact that it's a numbers game, right? Not only do we want them to introduce the product to small business owners, we want them to train them on the product, but we also want them to go out there into the community and activate the residential constituents, right? The schools, the HOAs, the churches, the city governments, as I mentioned. So there's this two-pronged approach that our, quote, franchisees have to undertake. And that's really what our business is becoming. So like Ted, as a franchisee, we're trying to develop our franchisor organization where we effectively license our brand, which is embedded in our application, to folks who are influential members of their communities. We currently have four. I mentioned Alpharetta Milton, which is one, Roswell, Decatur, and Marietta. And each of those four, whether it was some upfront investment or a significant commitment and investment in time, acts as, behaves like a franchisee. And so the next step for the organization, one, to ward off threats from folks like Nextdoor who are out there with a similar offering, but do it from a national perspective, to scale, do it under the radar, but use the franchise organization as a funding vehicle. So we can put into business a lot of entrepreneurs who maybe don't have the resources to launch their own business, have always thought of it, maybe they're selling traditional media and they want to get into something that's new and unique.
So we're talking with Brian Evie, and Brian is with Village Vessel. Brian, you mentioned one thing there that you're talking about your competition being national. And I mean, I've been on your app. I've downloaded it and played around with it. One of the things I noticed immediately about it, though, is that it's local. So talk about that aspect of what you provide.
Yeah. So if we look at the national and in some cases global businesses who are trying to do local, they're trying to do it from a national perspective, right? So I mentioned Nextdoor, you think about folks like Groupon and Yelp, even Facebook and Google, they're trying to get to the local small business owner. And my belief is that to do local, you have to be local, right? And so we've enlisted as franchisees these influencers in their communities, because we think that's really important. You know, if you're going to talk the game, you have to walk the game. And, you know, if you're a small business owner and you have something goes wrong with, you know, your Groupon subscription, good luck getting a Groupon rep to come into your store. And if he shows up, it might take him 4 days. You have a problem with Village Vessel, we're there in 10 minutes because we live there, okay? So it's really all about being in the community, being an influencer in your community.
Brian Evie, again, the CEO of Village Vessel here on North Fulton Business Radio. Who are you looking to talk to? Who do you want to meet out there right now? For all the business people that are listening to the show, who is it that you'd like to get in front of?
Brick and mortar, as well as service-oriented businesses. It's really anyone and everyone. Like Ted, trying to take his advice, we want to listen. We want to ask questions. Not everyone is right for our platform. And then we think about the residents as well, because we don't want to, even though we all like to generate revenue and activate customers, we're not going to overload our individual community services with hundreds of small businesses. So not trying to create, you know, kind of a first come, first serve environment out there, but we do want to be particular about the businesses we onboard. For instance, we had a local restaurant who, you know, I won't mention here. we met with them. We had a really good feeling about them. We did a little research and found out that their reviews on Google were really negative. And so we decided that they weren't right for our community. So we decided to no longer call on them. So we want to be, you know, really disciplined in that regard.
All right. For those that would like to find out more about the app and more about Village Vessel, where can they get more information?
VillageVessel.com, Village V-E-S-L. We're trying to be cool, Mike.
hey, we know about that here at Business Radio X.
Yeah, exactly. They could also go to either one of the app stores, Apple, Android, and just type in Village Vessel in the search bar, and then it'll present our destination. And from there, you can locate your individual community app.
All right, again, VillageVessel.com, and Vessel is V-E-S-L.
Correct.
All right. Brian, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Mike. John?
Thanks, Brian. Mike, Faratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies and offering outstanding customer service. Faratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Faratech products, so you know they stand behind their quality. For more information, visit Faratech.com. That's Faratech.com. Faratech, great people and remarkable service.
We're spelling out a lot of websites today.
We are.
Also want to do a shout out to choicestoyou.com. They have catered some lunch to us today for just us, well, for us and our guests today from Taco Mac, the Taco Mac on Old Milton Parkway in Alpharetta. I know it well. I've been there. It's huge.
It's huge.
Great food. Love the wings.
Oh, yeah.
Lemon pepper wings are my favorite. Guys, I don't know if any of you have been to Taco Mac, and if you got favorites, feel free to chime in. But not sure what wings they brought for us today, but they got us wings, chips, sandwiches. I mean, everything you can imagine.
They must think we had about 8 guests or something, as much food as they brought today.
They must think Stephen Julian is co-hosting this program, because Stephen can eat.
Stephen.
Don't tell Stephen I said that.
I won't tell Stephen you said that. So, but no, great food at Taco Mac. I mean, everybody's familiar with this great establishment. I mean, I was there on Sunday night. I won't talk about why for Super Bowl, but we won't get into all that. But roasted wings, that's one of my favorites.
Really?
So, yeah, well, the new roasted wings. I mean, they do a great job with those, and they've got some great flavors, new flavors, too. So,
well, great beers, great drinks. The TV's all over the place. Great place to watch sporting events. So check out the Taco Mac on Old Milton Parkway in Alpharetta. And a big thanks to them for sharing their food with us today. And, of course, thanks to choicestoyou.com. If you're tired of getting pizza all the time and you want maybe your favorite restaurant food delivered to your doorstep, choicestoyou.com, they do it. They cater lunch and breakfast even.
Even breakfast.
And dinner, and they'll bring it right to your doorstep. They have those bags that keep it fresh and warm. So check out choicestoyou.com, and you'll see all the restaurants they represent, and they do a great job of getting it to you fast and fresh. So choicestoyou.com.
Thanks, Tom Voris.
Yes, thank you very much. All right, our third guest here on North Fulton Business Radio from Azalea Health Innovations, a.k.a. Azalea Health. It is Baha Zidane.
You got it
Baha,
right.
Baha, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for hosting me.
Absolutely. Azalea Health, tell us about your company.
Azalea Health. So we're a health IT company. We provide technology and tech-enabled services to the providers, making their life easier and streamline their back office services and facilitate the communication between the provider and the patient and between the provider and other providers and insurance companies as well.
All right. So kind of give us an example. You say the kind of back office. I mean, sure. What exactly are you providing?
Yeah. So we're the software that powers the physician office. From the moment a patient calls the physician office to schedule an appointment, they will schedule it on Azalea Health software. From the moment the patient walks in, the physician gets notified using our software that the patient is in the waiting room. And as the physician talks to the patient and consult with the patient, they document that encounter and document that clinical experience with using our software. And once the patient leaves, we send the patient an invoice if it's necessary, or the insurance company a bill or a claim, and manage that process and make sure the physician got paid for their service that they provided.
Okay, so medical practices, doctors, dentists,
anyone? No dentists.
Okay.
No dentists,
but the health field, the I health guess those field. Are the people you work with.
Yes, and we try to focus constantly on our rural market. Azalea actually started in Valdosta, Georgia. It's a small little town in the south of 75. So since we started, we started working with physicians in Valdosta, and we saw that there is a niche that is not well taking care of, which is the rural physicians, the rural hospitals, the rural clinics. And we saw that they have a set of challenges that's different from the urban physician. And we decided to continue to focus on that market and deliver services to that physician and that population.
Baha, talk a little bit about some of those challenges, specifically what they are for a rural medical practice versus an urban
practice. Yeah, it's a great question. The rural market faces multiple challenges. Challenge number one, there's not enough providers in the rural market. There's not enough providers in the nation in general, but typically when physicians graduate, they would want to be in Boston and Miami and Chicago versus Douglas, Georgia or Pelham, Georgia. So there's a huge struggle in attracting providers and physicians to the rural market. Additionally, we find that specialty physicians and specialists are also harder for them to be attracted to the rural market. And also rural market can't support that physician from population. Typically, the physician in the rural market lack the number of population that is available in the urban market. Additionally, some of the challenges in the rural market we see is the lack of talent when it comes to supporting that physician from the back office. And additionally, from the technology side, it's very hard for a rural physician to be able to attract the talent to make sure they run in their business efficiently.
Baha, talk about telehealth. Now, telehealth maybe you can define it for our listeners.
Sure.
But talk about how Azalea addresses telehealth and brings that innovation to the clients you serve.
Sure. So telehealth is basically providing patient care over the phone or over a teleconference or video conference. And it's a very important way of providing that care, especially in a digital world that we have now. We all have smartphones and we see telehealth as a way to provide patient care using your smartphone. And additionally, we have an aging population, and being able to monitor and manage chronic conditions can be done over telehealth. The way we see telehealth, we see every physician in the future be able to provide care face-to-face with their patient and using follow-ups using telehealth. How many of us go to a physician just for a basic refill? And it's a great way to lower the cost of healthcare. And especially for the rural market, it provides the rural population access to additional providers, and it provides the rural physician access to a specialist. So, for example, a physician in Valdosta, Georgia, can access a pediatric neurosurgeon in Emory using telehealth. And that patient can continue to be seen by a neurosurgeon, but right in Valdosta, Georgia.
One of the big things these days when it comes to politics, of course, is the healthcare industry. It seems to always be changing. And, you know, Obamacare, either you're for it or you're against it. It depends who you seem to support and so forth. Do you see the landscape shifting? I mean, how do you see it going down the road? What's the healthcare industry going to be looking like?
So the healthcare before Obamacare and before actually 2008, it was mainly focused on reimbursement that is based on transactions. So you go to see the physician, they do something and they send a claim to the insurance company and they get paid for it. But it never was around outcomes. And never the outcomes never been a way to measure the quality of that physician. So in the past years, there was a huge shift in shifting the reimbursement from a model of transactions into a value base or an outcome base.
Results.
We see that in every business except the healthcare. However, since that discussion started, it's hard for us to unwind. Doesn't matter which administration is in the office. It's hard to go back and to say, oh, let's go back to the transactional-based healthcare. I think that train has departed, and there will be shifts and modifications to the outcome-driven healthcare reimbursement model, but we see it to continue to move in that direction.
Baha, one of the things I heard, I think I heard earlier, when you're talking about innovations like notifying the physician when a patient's ready to see them. I mean, it sounds like what you're trying to do is improve the customer experience that the patient gets, and that really ends up helping the physician's practice.
Absolutely. It's a key for us. At the end of the day, it's the patient who benefits from this. And it's the patient who's paying for this, even though the insurance company reimburses the physician for that visit. And the patient experience is a key for us. We provide them as well with an app to be able to view their past medical history, their lab results. As Azalea Health, we believe that a more educated patient and more aware, the patient where they're more aware of their condition, the better they are. And it's the easier to cure that patient. Or if it's a chronic patient, it's easier to manage that chronic condition if the patient is more engaged with their physician and when the patient is more informed. And we provide those tools for the patient and the provider to be able to engage with each other and be able to educate each other.
Now, we've heard some great backstories on how, from our other two guests, about how they got into their business. I'm interested in yours.
Sure.
So tell us about your history and what your journey toward Azalea Health.
Sure. So I started actually as an intern. I went to Valdosta State University. And as an intern, I worked at a medical laboratory company. And while I was at the medical laboratory company, I was solving a lot of the issues related to communication and connectivity between laboratories and electronic health records, connecting physicians and labs and hospitals and labs as well. Spent 7 years there. And while I was doing that, I've always done some trading online. And I saw a huge parallel between fintech and health IT. I go home and I read about TD Ameritrade and talk about different trading platforms where making exchanges in nanosecond. Then I go back to work and we're delivering lab results a week later. And lab results typically is a life-threatening result or piece of information that physicians and patients need to know about in real time. So I saw me and two other co-founders, we saw that there is a huge deficiency in technology when it comes to health IT, and we're way behind. So that was a flag to say, okay, let's focus, continue to be in the health IT. And while we're doing that, we saw that also in the health IT lacking the Web 2.0 look and feel of applications and the mobility and providing mobile apps. So that was the start. We applied for a business plan competition. At that time, it's a $15,000. We thought that will make us live forever until we cashed the check and realized that it takes more than $15,000 to start a business. But it built a foundation. Having a business plan is a great foundation to continue to grow the business. And years later, we have an office in Valdosta with 55 employees, an office in Atlanta with about 25 employees. We have an office also in Macon. We grown the business and acquired a company in Atlanta 2 years ago. And this summer in 2016, or past summer, we got funded by a large private equity firm called Cain Capital. And we're closing our Series B of $10.5 million. So we're excited now to take the company to the next level.
Congratulations. That's a great story, a great success story. I never thought about that. I mean, everything is instantaneous these days, yet you go to a doctor and it takes a week or two to get results.
It's mind-boggling.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, however, in tech world, is nanosecond transactions.
Right. Makes no sense. So, I mean, you stumbled, came across a great idea, and you've turned it into a very successful business. How big do you see this going? What are the plans as you look forward?
We continue to grow. We're looking now to acquire additional market share. We see the growth in the telehealth will be a huge for us as well. And we continue to focus on the reimbursement model and how to help also physicians, how they can bill and get reimbursed for those telehealth visits. And we continue to grow. We have a great funding partner right now. So we're excited. The next phase will have a lot of M&As, a lot of growth. And we're just really thrilled. We're looking forward to it.
Congratulations. Thanks for coming here and sharing the story.
Thank you.
For those that would like to find out more about Azalea Health, where can they get more information?
Azaleahealth.com. Azalea like the flower. So hopefully that's simple.
That is simple.
Yeah, it's very simple.
You know, it's amazing. You talk about telehealth these days. I mean, they're going to have, and they may already be out there, the apps, and you would know this, Baha, that I could be doing a correspondence with you over the phone, and I could get your pulse and your blood pressure and all that.
Absolutely. You could monitor
their temperature.
Temperature. You could actually, there are apps that has nano sensors that will travel through your blood that will alert you of a heart attack 4 hours in advance. You don't want to get that call.
Technology is amazing.
It is amazing.
I don't know if I want that one.
I know.
4 hours from now, you're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I guess we better get to the hospital now.
That is
amazing stuff. Again, thank you very much and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Baha Zidane with Azalea Health here on North Fulton Business Radio. Well, we've got some wonderful food from Taco Mac on Old Milton Parkway in Alpharetta. Thanks to choicestoyou.com. I want to thank all our guests for joining us from Azalea Health. And Ted from Sandler Training and Brian from Village Vessel, thanks for coming on and sharing their stories with us. A reminder, you can listen to this show live every Tuesday at 11:30 here on North Fulton Business Radio X, or you can listen to the show or any of our other shows anytime, 24/7, by going to the website, northfultonbusinessradiox.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter or all over the social media platforms, so check us out there as well. Any parting shots, John, before we get into lunch?
I'm inspired by all these entrepreneurial stories. I'm so inspired. I think I'm a little hungry now. So.
I feel like I've missed the boat somewhere.
I know it.
I don't have a $25 million company or anything like that.
I know it. So it's amazing what we find around here in Alpharetta and North Fulton.
Yep. Well, again, thank you, John. Thank you to our guest. Until next time, I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you right here on North Fulton Business Radio X.